Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello, and welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, and I'm back with Rob Blanchett. How are you, Rob? It's been a little while with the World Cup happening to talk all things Manchester United, but we did do an impromptu episode as the world melted down around Man United just a couple of weeks ago. Cristiano Ronaldo and the sale of the club. Potentially coming up. But yes, we've had a break while I've been out in Qatar. I'm now back. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I thought I was going to have a little bit of a break, obviously, during the start of the World Cup this time around, with obviously not being out in Qatar. But then what happened? Manchester United went up for sale, and Cristiano Ronaldo, the most famous player in history, had his say about the football club. So those kind of echoes and reverberations around those two stories will continue, no doubt, and we'll talk about them in depth. But Manchester United are now out in Spain, ready for their little mini tour. I've seen out there that the weather is beautiful and pouring with rain, just like it is in Manchester.
So they
could have stayed at home, but they'll get a good couple of games in to get some fitness back into the legs. But obviously the World Cup is still running, so we'll obviously talk about our players who are doing quite well at the tournament.
Yeah, my notes say that Man United are winning the World Cup as it stands because Marcus Rashford is among, I'm not sure whether he is anymore, among the top scorers. I don't think he is anymore because Kylian Mbappe happened the other day, didn't he? But yeah, United players having a good World Cup. Casemiro looking like one of the best players in the tournament so far. We're recording after this, after Brazil just smashed South Korea on Monday night. We'll talk about how Man United players are faring, and we'll talk about how either former or potentially future Man United players are faring in the tournament as well, and their links with Man United. We'll talk Ronaldo, Cody Gakpo, or is it Hakpo? I'm not sure. Memphis Depay, Jude Bellingham, his name has come up in relation to United over the last few days, and we'll talk about the friendlies which are upcoming for United as well. They play on Wednesday night, but you can subscribe to our show wherever you get your pods on all the major podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, and the likes. And you can watch us twice a week, usually on Tuesdays and Fridays. Head over to the YouTube channel that we have. Like the video, subscribe, and join the community as well. Sorry, we've been away. I do apologize, but the World Cup has happened. They plonked it in November and December, and things change. You can follow us on Twitter too, @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @PromiseLandMU for the show as well. Should we start with Ronaldo, Rob? Because he is not a Man United player anymore. We're probably going to be only talking about Ronaldo in depth a few more times until he finalizes his next club. Obviously, I'm seeing that he's even getting a little bit of stick for throwing tantrums off the Portugal bench now as well, which is quite funny. As I say, we're recording this before Portugal play, and Fernando Santos is actually not even guaranteed that Ronaldo will play in their next game if he's behaving like that. But Ronaldo has left United, and reports surfacing on Monday that his move to Al Nassr, which is probably the biggest deals in football history. Do you have the figures there, Rob? I'm sure you do. They are massive, ridiculous. I think they're a little bit more advanced than Ronaldo's camp wants to play out, but it is looking like Ronaldo might be off to the Middle East after the World Cup. But it was a bit of a surprise to me. I was maybe expecting him to shop around a little bit more to see if he could get that final shot in Europe. But if he takes this one, you know, nice payday for him.
Well, this is the Middle Eastern deal that we've talked about a lot on this show that goes back historically to when Ronaldo was being shopped around Europe, excuse me, and couldn't find a taker. What we've seen, I think, is, Scott, you know, we talk about the numbers around a deal. It's 170 million to go there initially, and it will rise to over 200 million depending on how long he decides to stay there. Cristiano Ronaldo lied during his interview with Piers Morgan, saying there is lots of interest in me. There is not a lot of interest in him. Why? He's very expensive and he's very old. So those two things have always gone against him. It's like you were just saying there, you know, you might have hoped for maybe one last chance to do something in Champions League, to do something at a bigger club. I don't actually think that was ever the motivation. And I've been on record of saying that, and I'm going to stick to it because this is all playing out exactly as we said. Cristiano's looking for one last payday. The strategy behind doing the interview with Piers Morgan was obvious about why he was doing it. Forcing Manchester United's hand, forcing him out of what is relatively now a small deal. You think about it, what he was earning at Man United to what he'd be earning in Saudi Arabia. And I think now it is just a matter of hours until that deal gets done, depending on where Portugal play and what they do. As you said, like, Ronaldo's out of the World Cup. They're playing there for Portugal, but he's not actually getting a lot of love, is he? There's not a lot of talk around Ronaldo, maybe in the same way there is with Messi. You know, I think there's a lot of kind of, I'd like Argentina to win it for Messi. There's not a lot of, I'd like Portugal to win it for Ronaldo. So I actually think his stock has fallen in terms of like the wider fan bases. He'll always have his CR7 fans that love him. But I think he's going to see his career out in the Middle East because that's where the money is. And I think that's been the motivation for a while now. I think we all fall into the trap about Cristiano, that he's a winner. He wants to win the Champions League. He wants goals. Well, I think if he's in Saudi Arabia scoring a hat-trick every week, he'll be all right at 170 million. He'll be quite happy with that. I don't think he'll be thinking, oh, I wish I was at Real Madrid again or Man United or a top club. But it's quite sad, isn't it, that he's left Man United for that reason.
Worked out well for United, though.
Perfectly. You know,
we will turn our attention, like, when United return to competitive action, back to, you know, the immediate future of United and possibly the long-term future as well. But, you know, I think I said it at the time, or we said it at the time on this pod, as raw as that interview was, as explosive as it was actually the best thing that could have happened to United in the circumstances. And I think that's, now that the dust is starting to settle and he's not there anymore, when he moves, that is officially it. You know, his connection with United, it's already been severed. It's already gone. But when Ronaldo is playing for another club in the Middle East or something like that, then United can just fully concentrate on moving forward and doing it the right way under Erik ten Hag. And we'll see who ends up joining to replace Ronaldo. We'll talk about them in a second. But yeah, Ronaldo, we await to see how much involvement Portugal have in the rest of the competition. I think they've been okay so far. Ronaldo's trying to claim goals off Bruno Fernandes that have touched his hair. You mentioned Messi there, Rob, about, you know, deciding games and massive moments. And then you've got Ronaldo on the other side trying to claim that he scored with his hair or whatever. A little bit of a difference, isn't it?
Yeah, like VAR wasn't made, was it, to see if Cristiano Ronaldo had, like, a hair follicle had touched from his head, had touched the ball, so he can have yet another goal on his tally for his historic career. But yeah, it is. I think it is quite interesting in the sense that with Messi, there is this groundswell towards not just his performances, but obviously Argentina, and if they can win it, and it being like his crowning glory of a World Cup. Well, if you look at Cristiano, and I think really what's happened in his club career at Manchester United has not damaged the affection completely. But there is a revulsion towards him a little bit now. Like, you know, everything seems negative, doesn't it? Every story is about his attitude or what he wants to do. And I think there is a section of fans who now are going to say, well, if you left Man United to go and play in Saudi Arabia, I'm not very happy about that. You know, this is how it is. People I've been talking to last 24 hours and people who are Ronaldo supporters have said that to me. They're like, ah, now we feel kind of a little bit kicked in the teeth. Because we were always thought it was about the Glazers. We always thought it was about, you know, not playing, or was Ten Hag unfair to him? But it's clearly about the money. And it always is. So I think with Cristiano, you've got to remember as well, he's got a very powerful agent that's going to push him towards that cash. This is his last payday. Good luck to him in the Middle East. Ronaldo is the problem that solved the problem of Ronaldo, didn't he? He did it for us. And thankfully, I think Erik ten Hag will be away in his kind of Dutch bunker, thinking, well, that's one problem solved. Now I can get on with maybe buying a replacement.
Let's talk about it then, because there's two forwards in the Dutch national team who are having pretty good tournaments, actually. Memphis Depay scored a lovely goal in their win over the US. Cody Gakpo has scored, I think, three times in three group games and has looked... Well, he's done a good job of inflating his price now that he's had a good season with PSV so far. United have been linked with both players, and Memphis Depay is on the fringes at Barcelona. We all know. I actually forgot until yesterday that Man United playing Barcelona in the Europa League in the next few months. That's how disconnected I've been from club football. But yeah, two players there who potentially could fit the bill. They're flexible forwards. You know, they can play in a couple of different positions, technically pretty sound. Memphis Depay, obviously played at Man United before, would be the older option. Who's a better fit, Rob? Can you see any of these happening? And maybe if you want to go into some detail on where we stand with each of these players, feel free.
Yes, I can see things happening here now because stuff is definitely happening behind the scenes. So yeah, let's talk about Gakpo and Memphis. We've talked about them previously, but I think there is new fresh context now, isn't there? So we'll start with Memphis. So you were saying who's the better fit? I actually think that Gakpo, or Hakpo, you're right, that is the Dutch pronunciation. I think that he is the better fit also for what Man United do. I think the issue with Memphis is always been for me is that he's a little bit hot and cold. He's either looks like one of the best players in the world, or he just does nothing. And you're somewhere in the middle. That's not really what Man United need at the moment. But United have now got this £500,000 a week that was Ronaldo's, that is now nobody's and has now gone back to the books, where you could go out and buy someone. Barcelona are desperate to shift Memphis. So there is a chance here that as a short-term option, that Man United have to haggle a little bit now with PSV for Gakpo's signature. And I think that will be the news now in the next week or two. That's where it's going to go. That unless United get that, are really confident of that deal, that they will turn to Memphis because it's someone that they have inquired about in recent times. Again, there's the Dutch connections here, isn't it? I think every Dutch player on earth is going to be linked with Erik ten Hag. That's just how it is, and that's how it will continue. But I think he's got form for it as well, hasn't he? He did go back to Ajax, buy their best players, and then kind of disappear again. So I think that Gakpo is the player that United will go for. I think the price is debatable now. There's no way that PSV are going to let him go for the money that they initially agreed. You know, they are rubbing their hands watching this World Cup PSV going, cha-ching, we are about to cash in because this player is going to be right at the apex of his value. And who wants them? Manchester United. So we're going to squeeze this for every penny. So I think United are going to have to pay for him. But I would love to see Gakpo at United because I think if you bring him in, he's shown that he's got real abilities at 9 and 10. So when United were linked with him, it was all, oh, he's off the left. He comes inside. He's a wide player who scores goals, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, I think what we're seeing in recent weeks, this boy can play anywhere in that front line. And that makes him really super valuable. He can play as a 10. He can play as a false 9. He can play as a 9. And you need that because Ronaldo is gone. You need a goal scorer. And you need someone that fits that fluidity up top with what you've already got. So Gakpo, get the price right. I think he will be coming in January.
So do you think that if United did end up going and signing him, for example, that would be it? Would they turn their attention in the summer to other positions? Or do you still feel like they're relatively light in that area?
Well, we've said already, like, off camera, that we will talk about the ownership issues as the week roll ahead because we need to get more information on it. But I do think that the ownership issue is intrinsically linked here now to transfers, about how the Glazers play this out, because they will still want Manchester United to be as strong an asset as possible before they sell. And I think this is a very different situation to normal clubs when they sell, to how they're trying to save money to be able to push that onto a new owner. I think they will continue to invest. I think we'll see Manchester United make signings in multiple positions this winter. When I say multiple, I mean two. Like, I'm not saying 3, 4, 5, 6. But I do think that United are looking, obviously, a striker. They've got to go and get a striker now, I think, with Ronaldo off the scene. And also, there's obviously issues still around fitness players. You look at the top end of the pitch. Martial's had fitness issues. Sancho's had fitness issues. Anthony was injured pre-World Cup. So there is still that desire, I think, to add that forward. But I do also think that United will be looking at fullback, looking especially at right back, and still that magical central midfielder. You know, like we've talked about a lot of it with Frankie de Jong, who's having a pretty good tournament, doing quite well. Is there going to be any movement on de Jong? I still doubt that, because I just think because of the numbers. But I think also, I think United will be looking at those three positions as a priority when January comes.
Yeah, you mentioned right back there. Jeremy Frimpong has been linked. Denzel Dumfries has seemingly wanted by number of clubs in Europe. Chelsea, yeah. Tottenham, United have been linked extensively. And he's had a good World Cup as well. He played really well against the US the other day.
The world's biggest shot window.
Even former Man
Scott.
United players. Daley Blint was sensational the other day.
Yeah.
Like, but what a tournament these United players or former United players or future United players are having. This is the United's tournament.
It is the world's biggest shot window. I said this before the tournament about Qatar, is that this is what it's going to be. There's going to be agents in Qatar and in Europe sniffing around saying, we can move our players on now. This is our product. Go to the World Cup, lads. Go have good games and we'll sort it out for you behind the scenes. And players do respond to that. Like, I know people say, oh, they're just focused on the country. Of course, they're there to win games for their international teams. But there is that feeling of being in a shop window and being shopped. And there's a lot of players out there. So you said Dumfries. I think for United now, it all depends about how they envisage the kind of evolution of some positions at Manchester United. So we know that right back that Dalot's done really well. But you are also aware that you probably do need someone else in there to help him out, you know, to be able to do it. Now, do you stick with Malacia as an option to play left and right? We're seeing now with the training camp that Brandon Williams is there. There's talk as well about Axel Tuinzebe coming back into the fold, who will be able to play at centre back and right back. So you've got options. So it depends now where Man United want to put the coin, Scott. You know, if you're going to put all the money into a Gakpo now, then you might get one and then try and expand and not maybe make another marquee signing. But I think Dumfries is very much up there. I think he's, you know, he's having a good World Cup, a name before the World Cup as well, someone that United have inquired about. Do not be surprised if United go in for an offer with him when January comes around. But it all depends on how they view Dalot. Is Dalot the absolute stick-on first choice, or do you need someone to rotate with him? Because Dumfries would not be coming to sit on the bench.
Dalot as well is obviously, I think he's got a year.
Yeah.
He's out of contract in 2023 with an option to extend. Yeah. But I know that Barcelona have been linked with him quite a little bit as well. So,
and that option will get triggered. There's no doubt about it. United will trigger it because they will want to protect the value of the player. But I also think the player wants to stay. So you've got to, I don't think competition is a problem there. It's just more about a football decision, isn't it? To actually know that you've got more than one player in each position.
So what about then midfield? We've talked about the striking options, the attacking options, the fullback options. Jude Bellingham, the name on everyone's lips at the moment, has been, to be fair to him, sensational at the World Cup so far for England. 19 years old, running matches from the midfield position for England. And the world is waking up and realizing just why Birmingham City retired his number 22 shirt when he was 17 years old. Hell of a player. He has the choice of the world. He can pretty much choose whichever club he wants to join. Next summer is the most likely time, but he's going to cost a hell of a lot of money. I know that certain Liverpool fans feel like it's pretty much nailed on that he's going to Liverpool. I think Man City really, really in the mix. Real Madrid, I think Real Madrid might be his best choice. But it's just all personal. It comes down to him and whatever he wants at the end of the day. But will Man United be in this mix? Because we've seen suggestions from Germany saying that they won't be. Where do you stand on this?
I stand kind of where I've always stood on this with United and Bellingham. And that is one, Manchester United made a huge mistake when he was at Carrington twice and they couldn't get the deal over the line. And that was because they were nervous about the price for a player who was outside the top division, whether he could help initially or, like, you know, would he come to Man United and sit on the bench? And let's be honest, if he'd come to Man United at that point, he probably would have sat on the bench under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So there was that. But I think you're seeing now, not in terms of growth, but like you just said there, the world's his oyster. He can really go anywhere he wants to go. And it's going to be an ownership that really want to kind of throw everything at him. So you talk about Liverpool there. Liverpool are compared to Man United, both clubs are up for sale, but Liverpool are in a little bit of flux. Liverpool not in the same position as Man United. They will not go for the same kind of price. It will still be a big valuation. But I think Liverpool might see a slowing down in terms of their interest of who they're going to buy while FSG sort out their own finances and move the club on.
Try telling that to a Liverpool fan, by the way.
Yeah, I do think that, again, this is now going to turn into some weird argument between United and Liverpool fans about, oh, you know, who's going to get the best owner next? It's like, the clubs are in different situations. They really, really are. So you've got to kind of pay attention to that when we talk about transfers. So I don't know whether Liverpool are the true favourites for Bellingham. I know that's a lot of the talk.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
But I think if Bellingham wanted to go anywhere at the moment, it'd probably be Man City. Let's be honest. Like, go play for Pep. They're winning everything. They've got money. So you'd be able to do that. But if Man United do get some hotshot owner who wants to come in and make a splash and do maybe what Todd Bowley wanted to do at Chelsea, where it's like, yeah, we're going to throw the money around. We were looking at all the top players. Let's see what we can do. Then Bellingham's going to be on that list now because of this World Cup. And Man United should have got this business done a long time ago. So I think it's 50-50 with Bellingham. I think United are still in the mix. But I do think that also when you're looking at the cash, there are other positions United need to look at. And midfield is obviously one of them. Bellingham would be an automatic starter at Man United, of course. But I think that there are other positions that Ten Hag will want to address, like in the immediacy. We're talking about obviously in this January window and coming up to the summer window. And that might mean because of that, that United miss out on Jude Bellingham. I would not be surprised if he stays at Dortmund for a bit, little bit longer. You know, he's the big dog at Dortmund. I think he enjoys that. He's still young. He's going to be their kind of corner piece for a bit. So I don't think he's unhappy in Germany. I think he's got a wise head. Yeah, he's a young man. He's got that wise head on his shoulders. I don't think he will rush to come back to the Premier League in the same way. I don't think he would rush to say, go to Real Madrid tomorrow, where the pressure is totally different to a team like Dortmund.
So it'll be an interesting 2023 for Man United on the transfer front, on the club sale front, club investment front. It's not confirmed that it'll be a sale, obviously, but that's kind of what we're expecting at some point. There's certainly some interest. We'll talk about that in more in depth on other shows in the future. But let's look at the World Cup and the friendly in Spain in the next few days, or friendlies in Spain in the next few days. Which players that play for Man United actually play for Man United have really stood out to you in the World Cup so far? Because it's been a good tournament for them.
It's been a really good tournament. Like, I think as well, like we talked about shop windows, it's more about players that Man United could go and sign. But I think when you look at Casemiro, so again, the kind of the lifeline with Casemiro coming from Real Madrid to where he is today, and maybe the little journey that he was on to get fit and to get ready and get in the Man United team. Now you're watching this Casemiro for Brazil, aren't you? And you're like, I'm so glad he plays for us because he's got everything. Do you know what I mean? So this is not a player who's just a defensive midfielder. You know, we'll say he's the best defensive midfielder in the world. Well, yeah, he probably is on his day when he's doing that job. But my God, he can do different things, can't he? You see how much influence he has at the top end of the pitch. He can score goals. He can assist. He can do the whole all-round package. So I think that, again, the manager will be looking at this. I think Erik ten Hag will be going, yeah, we did good there. We got this guy in. So we don't need a midfielder right this second. That's the whole thing about the Bellingham link. They're very different players, but you've got a stock there, haven't you? Obviously, Christian Eriksen is now out of the tournament, so he'll be coming back to United. It's trying to keep players fit, isn't it? Marcus Rashford, 3 goals. You can't look past that, obviously, what he's done in that short space of time in the group stage for England. I'm really pleased for Rashi. You know what I mean? I think it's the kind of positive press that he needed. But it's also, what I think, what he deserved, because we've said on this show that his form has been really, really good. And yet United fans still kind of criticise him. So to get this standing. Like, so say England carry on, say England gets a World Cup final. And Rashford scores the winner in a World Cup final for England. His stock's going to explode, isn't it? So I think they're the players, the core players that I've watched of United, who I think have done the best. I think it's Rashford and Casemiro. It's a shame, Martinez. Like, why do Argentina?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Why do they play Otamendi in front of Martinez? It makes absolutely no sense at all. Like, I know he's a kind of inexperienced coach for Argentina, former under 20 coach, now running the national side because Messi likes him. But you'd play Martinez, wouldn't you? Like, surely that's the key there in that position to kind of look after at centre back. But besides that, what have you thought about Bruno Fernandes and
Bruno's had a good tournament players? For me. Like, I went into it thinking that Portugal would be, they haven't been great at all. I know they won Euro 2016, but obviously under the same manager, they won that tournament, but were boring and pretty awful. I was at one of the Portugal games and saw Bruno score twice. Mm-hmm. He's having a good tournament. I know they lost their last group game, but a raft of changes. They're going into a last 16 game now where you'd make them the favorites, and then to get through that, might play Spain perhaps. You'd fancy them to me, and especially with Ronaldo starting to kick up a fuss a little bit. The thing that I thought would hold Portugal back would be Ronaldo and their coach so far, but it seems like they're playing. They've surprised me with the football they've been playing. And if Ronaldo's not in the team, I think they got a really good chance, you know? And Bruno's a key part of that.
Look, politics plays a big part in football selection, especially at international level. But I think eventually it does get ground back down to the football. So I think when you look at Ronaldo, if Ronaldo could, push Portugal all the way to World Cup final on his own, then think Portugal would stick with that and go, let's do it. But he can't do it. And people know this because they're watching the actual football. And I think the big difference with Bruno and why he's had a good tournament is because he's not intrinsically linked to Ronaldo on the pitch, like at Manchester United. So at Man United, his form suffered when he had to look after Ronaldo and try and feed him and supply him and do all of those things for another player. When Bruno has to do stuff for himself, he is a better forward. It's just as simple as that. And I think that's what we've seen now for Portugal, is that he's been given a little bit more freedom, I think, in those forward roles. Whereas only a year or two ago, Scott, Bruno Fernandes was sat as a kind of quasi number eight for Portugal, getting substituted in every game around 55, 60 minutes. And whilst being the man for Man United, and it was a little bit like, do you lot not watch the football? Like, play him as your main player? So I think he's done really well at the tournament. I just now hope, this is what I always say at tournaments, just keep them all fit. Come home safe. Yes, good luck to you winning your little gold trophy and being happy with that. But ultimately, come home safe to Manchester United, because we've got games, very important games coming up now, and we need everyone fit.
Yeah, I think one of the noticeable things watching Portugal was that there's been times where Bruno and other players in Man United's team or Portugal's team have felt like they had to pass to Ronaldo. And that one game where I watched Bruno quite closely, he doesn't think like that anymore. He's not, that's not what he's thinking. And his performances are way better off for it. Got a number of assists already in the tournament. And even Harry Maguire's looking relatively competent as well, next to Luke Shaw.
Okay, let's talk about Harry Maguire for 2 minutes, right? This is the whole thing about it. So Harry Maguire has had a good tournament, yeah? Do I want Harry Maguire anywhere near Man United's first team? No, because the one thing that we've seen in this tournament is, for the little blips that England have had at times, is that it's always about Maguire's pace. And when you look at him and he's paired up with someone who's quite sanguine, John Stones, that partnership, I look at that partnership and I kind of cringe. I kind of go, ooh, the weaknesses there will probably outweigh the positives. Southgate said in, obviously, the group stages, he was like, I love how we've controlled games from the back. What, you mean just passing the ball backwards and forwards between centre-backs, that controlling the game from the back? But England are where they want to be, so you can't criticise them over that. The sun has just come out and it's just literally shining on my face there. So that's a... apologies about people who are watching this on YouTube. I'm going to actually pull the blind a little bit there. Apologies again. But yeah, when you look at it there, you look at Maguire, he's done well, but I really don't want to see him ahead of any of the centre-backs we've got at Man United. And I still do think that, again, we talked about positions, didn't we, about players that you would look for. I still think United would like a centre-back at some point, a new one to rotate with the main two, with Varane. So look at, obviously, Varane's kind of had a quietly good, you know, tournament, hasn't he? And Martinez, when he has been on the pitch, I think has done really well. He had that big tackle, didn't he, in the knockout game, where he threw his body at it and you thought, ah, yeah, that's our butcher. We know that. We see that every week at Man United. So, yeah, good tournament for the United lads so far.
Yeah. Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire playing next to each other. But I'm touching on Harry Maguire and his place at Man United. I think what Ten Hag has done with Varane and Martinez, they've already been established as the top two, the first choice pairing, and I don't think that'll change unless injuries, etc., etc.
That's the problem. And I think this is also now with these with this little trip to Spain, that it'll be interesting to see who sneaks into the rotation now, because obviously your senior players are not there. And there's a lot of kids banging on the door. Like, there really, really is. There's, you know, there's Manu and there's a whole host of them who are kind of, I think, their stock within the camp. And this is kind of what we're hearing from Manchester United, that the manager really likes them. So he's seen them now for a few months, watched their development, given them all individual training plans. They're all working on that and they're all trying to get somewhere. And then, of course, there's maybe the players on the who are now on the outskirts of this tournament, didn't make it for the countries, and the likes of Jadon Sancho, who are going to have to prove themselves, aren't they? So I think it's a good mix of youngsters and players that still need to prove themselves. And if you can get a load of lads coming back from the World Cup who've had a good tournament, hopefully you can hit the ground running. This Cadiz selection, I think, is going to be really, really interesting. And of course, the manager is going to get questioned about Cristiano and all the other factors that have happened in the last few weeks.
Oh, yes, of course. So let's hope we hear some... Well, I don't know. Eric Ten Hag will just brush it aside, won't he? He'll act like it. He'll say a little bit and then that'll be it. But United do play two friendlies. Yeah.
I hope he'll put some full stop on it. Because I think that's his style anyway. But he now has to, hasn't he? Because as of yesterday, wasn't it? I think the contract was cancelled. You know, I got a text yesterday saying the contract is now officially cancelled. And it was like, and it was a moment. He kind of went, ooh, that's it now. That's done. And I think Eric Ten Hag might have got a similar text and gone, right, let's move on. Because I think that's the kind of guy he is.
Yes, two friendlies coming up against Cadiz and Real Betis. And then there's a EFL Cup tie on the 21st of December against Burnley at Old Trafford before Nottingham Forest on the 27th of December. The Burnley match is actually 3 days after the World Cup final. So we'll see if any of United's players do make it to the World Cup final. You'd probably think that it's pretty likely, thinking of all the teams and the tree. So there'd probably be some United involvement in there with the teams that you'd think will make it to the last stages of the semi-finals and this kind of thing. So, what are you expecting then from these two friendlies, or more specifically, Wednesday night's friendly? Because United have named the squad full of young players. Jadon Sancho, not included. Axel Tuanzebe, also... I'm hearing is training specifically with coaches assigned by Eric Ten Hag as well. So what's your reaction to this, and what are you expecting?
Well, when I initially heard about the games, before they were announced, I was very pro them, because I thought warm weather training is a good idea, especially when you've got this kind of 2 week period where the players have been allowed to go away and just work on their fitness, but be on kind of holiday, you know, kind of just go back to their homelands and chill out for a bit. But I think the actual games themselves, again, it's just another chance here now to get ready for the next stage of the season. So, you know, Cadiz and Betis definitely a better team than Cadiz. But I think when you kind of looked at it there, the weather's not particularly warm, so the training's not going to be anything fantastic. But I think it's just now about integrating all those parts that we talk about every week and trying to see where you go forward. So the League Cup game as well coming up is actually going to be more important than the normal League Cup game, isn't it? Because this is not going to be a debate about whether Ronaldo gets minutes anymore, because that's gone. It's actually going to be about who else can you play in the middle of, you know, at the end of a World Cup, and you're looking at players, are they still going to be fit, ready to hit the ground running, or are they going to need time off themselves? So that game itself, so these three games with that, the two tour games and the League Cup game, I think become really interesting, because it's about what does Erik ten Hag see within the camp or players that he can promote? I think, again, we start talking more about the Zidane Iqbals of the world, because I think that these players are really on the cusp. They're young. And I know we've had this discussion on our show here before about whether players are ready. I think they are, Scott. They're young, but they are ready. They are hungry. And I think we're going to see in these three games, one or two or three of them break through. Erik ten Hag has taken a few extra players with him on this tour. He's actually gone to the youth ranks and said, you, I like what you've done in the last 3 months. Come join the first team for the first time. So I think we're going to see a few surprise names put on the shirt against Cadiz and in the following two games.
Yeah, we'll see how it unfolds. I was just looking into, I saw a link the other day with potentially sending Zidane out on loan. I'm not sure how that's progressed since.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
He's ready. Like, he's ready to play a lot of football. I think he's a really talented lad. And if he doesn't make the initial breakthrough at United, you look at Alvaro Fernandez and players like that. You've got players that maybe United fans are not massively familiar with, but have really come a long way in the last year or two. And are now, like, physically, they're men. They need football. They need football minutes. Do you know what I mean? So I think we'll see a little bit of that kind of rotation in these next three games. Because when you get back to the Premier League, Scott, you can't do it. You know, when you're back in the Premier League, you can't risk stuff with kids. Then you have to kind of play players who you're seeing are on football. That's when we're talking more, I think, about Jadon Sancho and maybe that kind of player that you expect to play Premier League games, but has had fitness and health issues, so he's not quite ready. And there's been a big stink about that the last few days from fan channels and whatnot, saying, why is he not in Cadiz? Why is he not playing? Well, they're trying to do what's right for the player. That's what they're trying to do, get him fit, get him ready. But then, of course, if he's ready for the Premier League, he'll be in that rotation start.
Just one final thought from me. I'm pretty glad, not that I wanted Denmark to fail or whatever, but I'm pretty glad Christian Eriksen's gone out the World Cup pretty early so he can have a little bit of time off specifically.
I was thinking exactly the same thing, no offence to Denmark and the Danish. You know, it was a case of, it's one of those things, isn't it? You know, like at the kind of start of the season, we were talking about Christian Eriksen, and I said at the time, it almost felt very quickly that he became our most important player. It was kind of strange because he's that fulcrum of the stuff that you want to do in midfield, you know, in terms of progression from deeper in the on the pitch, you know, getting up there, playing this 4-1-5 that I think we'll see, you know, against Cadiz. I think we'll see this going forward all the time. So you need him. If you didn't buy Frankie de Jong, you really need to keep him fit, don't you? So I hope that obviously now he will get some time off, rejoin Manchester United and is ready for the Premier League. But he's become, you know, him and Casemiro, probably the two most important players now, which is a strange thing to say at the start of the season when you're talking about new talent. Even Martinez, you could say, is in that thing now. So three brand new players are your most important individuals. We need to get Eriksen back. I hope that he's enjoyed the tournament. I'm glad he went because I think it's a milestone for his career, obviously, of what's happened to him. But back to duty now, back to the Premier League, back to wearing a Man United shirt.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap up, Rob, because I think that's the running order run through. We'll be back later this week. Any final thoughts before we do move on? Because we have some World Cup football and a Man United friendly before we next speak.
No, I think we'll have some Erik ten Hag comments to talk about when we go live next at the end of the week, because I think that is important here now. Even though we're saying we're confident, we kind of know what he's going to say and how he will style it out. We need to hear what he says about Ronaldo, don't we? Because don't forget, even though Cristiano is gone now, those words, as I've said before, will echo and reverberate forever. You know, that interview with Piers Morgan is on YouTube forever. People will reference it forever. So the manager, I think, needs to find a way to address it comprehensively. And I just hope that he's just really straight with it. You know, like, I'm happy to say that Ronaldo's going for the money. I don't think he's going to say that. But I think there's a lot more football things that Erik ten Hag can say about why it didn't work with Cristiano Ronaldo. And I think they're on Ronaldo. You know, I don't think it's on the manager and I don't think it's on the team this time. I think it's actually on the player. And good luck to Cristiano in his future of his career. You know, like, I know people think we've got some bugbear against him. Absolutely not. Good luck to him. He came back to Man United. It didn't work out. Shake hands. Have a hug. Move on. We'll go and buy another centre forward.
Just on Ten Hag and Ronaldo, I do hope when he's asked the question about Ronaldo not respecting him, that he essentially says, if somebody doesn't respect me, they don't belong here. And that's why the decision was made.
That's the soundbite. That's what
I think. That's what we want.
That's what I think might be coming. I think that he'll play it all down. He won't want to kind of go into depth. He definitely won't want to talk about Piers Morgan. Like, none of us want to talk about Piers Morgan, but you have to because he stuck his nose in there. But just what a sad way to end your Manchester United career and legacy, that you thought to earn a big buck in Saudi Arabia or wherever you're going to go next, that the route was to go down the tabloids to flush all your dirty laundry in front of everyone and kind of go that route. I don't think Erik ten Hag has disrespected the player at all. It's not what we hear from behind the scenes from other players, and it's not what we hear it just in general. You know, so I think Cristiano's done himself a disservice there, but good luck to him, as I said. And he's always going to be Ronaldo, isn't he? He's always going to believe he's the best player in the world and the biggest superstar in the world. And 500 million Instagram followers will become a billion or 2 billion or whatever. And he'll get off on that, and we'll all fall asleep and snore until the next football match,
which is on Wednesday, actually. So United play a friendly, and we'll be back after that. We'll hopefully hear from Erik ten Hag about the Ronaldo fallout and moving forward as club football comes back into focus, not quite as the World Cup really hits the business end. But there are United players coming home. There are United players still in Qatar doing very, very well. We'll have a look at it all over the next few days and few episodes. But until next time, you can subscribe to our show wherever you get your pods and watch us on YouTube twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays. So head over to our YouTube channel, hit the like button, subscribe, join the community as well, and leave a comment for us. Hopefully you've missed us, but not too much. And we'll be back now pretty much as regular and as usual. You can follow us on Twitter too, @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @PromiseAndMU for the show. Rob, thanks very much. As ever, thank you very much for listening, everyone, and we'll see you very soon for another Promised Land.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.